950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday. Good to be with you. Matt Patrick here today. Patrick, coming up a little bit later on, Democrat of the Day is Brad Kovach, 30B. He's taking on Lucero. Oh, Eric. We're going to talk to him about his race. I was just up in his district the other day, so we'll talk to him a little bit about his race and how things are going. But we actually have some breaking news here, which is going to be fairly pertinent to the election. A candidate for the Minnesota 2nd Congressional District seat from the Legal Marijuana Now party has died, meaning the race will automatically be postponed until February. Minnesota Secretary of State Steve Simon released a statement on Thursday saying Adam Weeks, who was nominated by the Legal Marijuana Now party, has died. Simon's release. I want to offer condolences to the family and friends of Mr. Weeks. The loss of any of us is a tragedy, and that's felt especially in someone who's put his energy into a campaign to serve public office. According to Minnesota law, if a major – this got changed after Wellstone passed away. So I believe this is the first time this law has actually been enacted. According to Minnesota law, if a major party nominee dies within 79 days of election day, a special election is to be held for that office on the second Tuesday in February. Democrat Representative Angie Craig is the incumbent in the 2nd District. Her remaining challenger is Republican Tyler Kistner. The special election will be held on February 9th. Voters in the 2nd Congressional District should continue to vote this fall, Simon said. All votes on the ballots will still count, except for those cast in the 2nd Congressional District race. So if you've turned in your ballot already, they just won't count that race. There'll be a special race there. I will say that both Angie Craig and Tyler Kistner have both put out some very nice condolences to the Weeks family. I'm glad we do this because, frankly, I just remember the chaos of Wellstone's death and how in the aftermath, there were just so many people going, I don't know, what do we do? I don't know, what do we do? And meanwhile, the entire time, Norm Coleman was out there, who was running campaign ads up until, and by the way, why I remember this is I took my son to the Minnesota History Museum. We were over at the Minnesota History Museum, and if you've ever been there, I was in the parking lot, and I was looking in downtown St. Paul when we got word that Wellstone had passed away. And I just remember, my son was like an infant at this point, and I just remember looking out onto the city and just be like, you got it. Wow, this is, wow. And there was chaos the entire time. And what clearly Norm Coleman's people had done is they'd looked at the law and they'd said, well, they really can't stop the election. So he just, gee willikers, we're going to stop our campaign. Really? Well, since the election's going to happen and your main opponent had passed away and they can't move the election, how very minimal of you. And as former Senator Franken pointed out, the entire time he was sitting there going, I'm not campaigning, he was clearly campaigning. He couldn't get on every – he went on every – well, pretty much it felt like every television station in the state, every newspaper in the state he gave interviews to. Like, gee willikers, I didn't want to win this way. I remember that. So they passed that law. And like I said, Patrick, off the top of your head, do you remember it ever being enacted before now? I don't think so. I can't think. Even on a statewide race, I can't think. I mean, I'm not. That would be the ones that I'd be thinking of, the Minnesota House, Minnesota Senate races, that maybe at some point someone passed away during one of those campaigns. But needless to say, so the Minnesota 2nd, and this is a big race. The Minnesota 2nd Congressional District race is not on for November 3rd. That race now is going to be decided on February 9th. I'm not sure if you are one of these people that's a big fan of the Legalized Marijuana Now party. I'm not sure what the process would be to replace the candidate, if that's even possible. But my guess would be is that was the whole point about the Wellstone thing, was that they wanted to make sure that they had an adequate time to replace the candidate. And so my guess would be is that they would be able to replace the candidate. I mean, I'm guessing here. 952-946-6205. We'll have to see what impact that has. I mean, the more interesting element of that is definitely going to be on the Minnesota second races, the House and Senate races in the Minnesota second district overall. I'm going to be fascinating to see what, if any, impact happens there. I wanted to start off today. We start off with, obviously, the breaking news. I wanted to mention today the fact that we... So on Tuesday, one of the things I did when I was out in rural Minnesota is I went up to St. Michael Albertville and was watching a high school soccer match. And one of the things that really came across as, I guess they think the virus is over, is that they had their, because of football can now practice, they had what looked to be about 1,000 kids trying out and warming up for football. I mean, they had multiple fields packed. They had multiple soccer matches going on, which is, you know, what they're doing. I mean, it was just, there was a lot of people. That parking lot was jam-packed full. I was grateful that I found a parking spot that was away from the rest of the parking spots. I was able to walk onto a field and socially distance there. But, I mean, if you're like me and you've been going to some of these like soccer and track and tennis, I believe, is still on, you know, have you noticed that all of a sudden that people are not social distancing like they used to? People, I know, let's be honest, people don't wash their hands like we did. When this whole thing started back in March, you know, there was a real fear, which, you know, fear is – I'm not a big fan of fear. But being smart about things and understanding that at that point we basically knew nothing about coronavirus. We didn't really know how likely it was that even with face masks and everything was to spread. We were just trying to figure out, can we keep grocery stores open, stuff like that. And we really were paranoid. And I don't know if you remember. I remember going to a Target store trying to find some toilet paper one time. And it was early in the morning, and there was a line already around the side of the store, but everyone was 10 feet away from each other. Even when the store opened up, people were very respectful and kind of, you know, kept away from everyone else. Doesn't exist anymore. There's a reason why I want to bring this up is because my wife and I, you know, we just had, you know, today a reminder that this is a pandemic, that a friend of one of our kids they're in a house with confirmed coronavirus. And my daughter had spent some time, although somewhat socially distanced, but had spent some time with this friend on Monday. Once again, not hand in hand walking down the street, but still. And for a brief second, my wife and I were like, what do we do? What do we do? Well, we know what to do. We're intelligent. We trust science. We canceled out, you know, that we found out that the one girl did not have, or that she tested negative for coronavirus, although we're somewhat skeptical of that result considering the circumstances. Needless to say, we're going to get our kids in to get them checked for coronavirus coming up here in the next few days. And it's a case where, once you thought about it for 3 seconds, okay, yeah, well, all the kids' extracurricular activities are off. We need to contact the orthodontist who saw my daughter and let them know that, you know, there's this chance that there could be a case here. Because they saw, like I said, that was a case there. There was also a volleyball clinic that they went to. Well, we have to let them know. You know, God willing, that on Saturday when we get tested, they'll have one of those speed tests. And hopefully by within 30 minutes or so, we'll know. And then we can go back to a normal routine. But until that time, we're going to treat it like we're on quarantine as a family again. And that's what we need to do. And when you look out right now, there is this – we as a country just get so damn impatient. I have been sitting here for six whole weeks. Weeks, I tell you. I need a haircut. I'm going to go get a haircut. Don't you be stopping me. My southern white woman accent is not nearly as good as I thought it was. I declare, maybe I should just stick with Flo from Mel's Diner. Kiss my grits. There you go. We'll do that one. But the reality is that we're tired of being inconvenienced, so we're risking a heck of a lot just to try to say, well, I'm not going to live in fear. There's nothing, no one says you have to live in fear, but do you want to die? I mean, those two things do not equate. It's just because you are cautious and you don't want to kill a grandparent and you don't want to kill a neighbor or you don't want to kill your spouse or a child doesn't want to kill their parents. It doesn't mean that you're being afraid when you're being cautious. That is just an excuse for people who are idiots to justify their reckless behavior. I'm not going to be afraid. No, you're an idiot. You're just an idiot. South Dakota seems to be full of the damn people right now, for God's sakes. You can say it's fear because that's a way for you not only to validate your ignorance, but they're all scaredy cats on the other side of the aisle with their face masks and washed hands. Really? I thought that was some mode of a cleanliness. But we've got to be careful. And yeah, if you don't treat it seriously, guess what? There's a reason why this is going to get bad. It's because right now, look around at our society. No one's socially distancing, not like they used to. I mean, how many times have you gone? I'll go to the grocery store this morning. By the way, still can't find Spam to save my life. I mean, seriously. That Hormel down, those guys down in Albert Lea, they must be raking it in right now because you cannot find a can of Spam anywhere. You can find the single packets, but come on. I'm a grown man. I want an entire stick of Spam. Put it right into the fryer. There you go. Just gnaw it away. It's like a meat sickle. Delicious. And salty. But I'll go to the grocery store now, and people don't try to social distance. People don't try to, it used to be, it's like, that person is grabbing something that I need. I'll just wait a few seconds here. Now it's just, out of my way, give me. Ah. We got to be careful. This is a nice little nudge to remind ourselves that if we do not take this seriously, if we do not, social distance, be careful. And do our due diligence that we're going to have a problem. And once again, to far righto guy that likes, I ain't going to live in fear. No, you're just stupid. You can label the other side as being afraid all you like. You're just being stupid. And so you've created this false narrative to validate your ignorance. We're not afraid. We just don't want loved ones to die. I mean, if that's afraid, then God, I pity your family. Holy God, do I pity your family. But don't be an idiot. And don't just sit and insult other people because you want to be stupid. I'm going to not wear face masks. I'm not going to be around anybody, but you're all fraidy cats. Yeah. Fine. If it makes you feel better, fine. Label us as the afraid. But you know what we'll have? A full table at Thanksgiving, unlike yourselves. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. When I come back, Minnesota coronavirus update. And reminder, the big story so far today, they are postponing that Minnesota second congressional district race because the legalized marijuana now party candidate, Adam Weeks, has passed away. That election now will not happen on November 3rd. That election will happen on February 9th. 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
I'll tell you a story before it tells itself. Joe Biden debates Donald Trump on Tuesday, September 29th, and we'd like you to join us for a socially distanced debate watch party at Crooner's Supper Club. Crooner's has an outdoor stage with a large TV and great sound. Tickets are $25 and include one complimentary drink and one seat at a two-person socially distanced table. Space is very limited because of safety, and tickets are pre-sale only at am950radio.com. Again, that's our debate watch party Tuesday, September 29th at Crooner's Supper Club off Moore Lake and Highway 65. Tickets and details at am950radio.com.
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show, and together we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Stop in at Next Chapter Booksellers to find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Their expert staff can help make book recommendations no matter what your taste. Plus, Next Chapter Booksellers also sells a wide variety of puzzles and games. They have free home delivery within St. Paul for orders over $50 and free mail shipments within the U.S. for orders over $50. Open daily by phone from 10 to 3. Call 651-225-8989 or visit nextchapterbooksellers.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Santita Jackson of AM 950's new daily morning drive show, The Santita Jackson Show. Minneapolis, St. Paul, I couldn't be more excited about starting our days together. Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 a.m. Central on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. We'll bring you the best progressive talkers, thinkers, and doers. And there's one more seat at the table, and that belongs to you. Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 a.m. Central, morning drive on AM 950, Minnesota's Progressive Voice, The Santita Jackson Show.
Patrick, good news. I make the call and people respond. Spam report for us. Apparently you can buy the 8 packs of spam, you know, in case you know, if coronavirus doesn't want to do it for you, you want something a little bit more old school like heart disease. Well, the 8 packs of spam are all available for you at the Costco up in Coon Rapids.
I mean, are we talking any kind of spam, or are people saying, I don't want the lower sodium, I just want, you know, the regular one?
Patrick makes a great point. The low sodium, no, there's tons of that. No, no. The light spam, oh, the heck with that. No, you can fill up your cart with those. It's good old-fashioned, you know, 700 milligrams per serving of salt and, you know, basically a bottle of Wesson oil. Fat intake, spam. That's what you're looking for. Oh, Hawaii, I love you too. Ever had spam in Hawaiian food? Ever had that?
I think I've only had real ham as my Hawaiian food.
Well, you're missing out. Trust me, the Hawaiians have figured out spam. They've figured out spam, and they do a pretty good job with it. It's kind of tasty. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Your spam recommendations are always welcome here. On AM 950, let's go to the Minnesota coronavirus update. 3 COVID-19 deaths were reported by Minnesota health authorities on Thursday, along with 995 infections. Coronavirus response to the pandemic. The daily numbers of the Department of Health brings total of the pandemic to 1,988 deaths and 93,012 infections. The state on Thursday also changed its reporting of a key measure of COVID-19 hospitalizations to reflect new admissions rather than daily counts of people in hospitals for treatment of the infectious disease. The state reported only 2 new admissions on Thursday. Due to a lag in reporting from hospitals, there's been a recent increase following the month-long decline in the hospitalization. Statewide reached a 7-day average of 42 COVID-19 hospital admissions per day on Wednesday compared to an average of 30 2 weeks ago. Okay, so you're changing it up? You know, okay. Okay, it's not like this is the third or fourth week and you realize, oh, wait a minute, you know, let's just talk admissions. I mean, I actually am a person, you know, considering we have a finite amount of emergency rooms and hospital beds, I'm a person who'd rather have the numbers of people in beds and the ICUs than just this, well, 2 people were admitted, 5 people were admitted, 40 people were admitted. 3 deaths reported on Thursday involved people 75 and older. The total state tally of infections includes 83,862 people who've recovered to a point they are no longer considered to be infectious on that. So that is like I said, you know, it's this is not getting better, and it's going to get worse. And once again, we still do not have a vaccine. Even if we did have a vaccine today, you need to have 200 million doses of it just for the United States alone. As authorities in suburban Milwaukee gamed out the complex preparations to allow children back into classrooms amid the coronavirus pandemic, they didn't plan for one scenario: parents deliberately sending infected kids to school. How come I – is this really just something that as a parent who has been – has kids who've gone through elementary school, and I've seen parents – I mean, just at my kid's bus stop, I saw parents sending a sick kid to school. I mean, I can't believe you're caught off guard by this. This is something that, I mean, I saw quite regularly. And, you know, I think this is from everyone I've talked to about that. That seems to be something that a lot of people, a lot of parents have experienced, other parents sending a sick kid to school. That's what it happened multiple times in Washington and Ozaukee counties in Wisconsin, health officials said this week. Something that happened and continued to happen, which I never in my wildest dreams imagined would ever help, is people sending their known positive kids to school, said Public Health Department Officer Kristen Johnson. As health officials investigate cases of more than two dozen schools in the counties, some of the demanding harsher repercussions for any parent caught sending a child to class after they tested positive. When you have parents lying to contact tracers, refusing to get kids tested, that's just beyond the pale, said Washington County Board Member Dale Creefall. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported that it becomes very problematic for the health department to manage this whole situation. The hammer may have to be dropped. Well, and I don't really have a problem with that. Because this, to me, seems to go beyond a traditional school, you know, he was tardy and stuff. You're potentially getting everyone in the classroom sick, the teacher sick. Depending on your school, that could be affect how many different classes within that in that given school year in that quarter. Wisconsin, which has recorded more than 1,200 COVID-19 deaths, isn't the only place struggling to cope with parents who will purposely evade safety systems. In Massachusetts last week, a student attended the first day of high school despite a positive test, sending dozens of classmates into quarantine. A similar situation in Oklahoma forced 17 students into quarantine. Just north of Milwaukee, a patchwork of school districts have adopted a range of back-to-school plans, but many of the offered students the option of doing school in person 5 days a week. Health officials already know. And like I said, this goes back to what I first was saying. You know, we know better. That's just people saying, we're going to open the school and the kids will be able to come on in here and that's how we'll beat coronavirus. Okay, just running the math of what you just said, that's not going to work. Health officials say they already know of at least three cases where students have tested positive and showed up to class anyway. This is the problem with one of the problems with the pandemic in the United States is you have just so many selfish people that the idea of, well, what do you mean I can't sit at home and stare at my social media pages all day? Do you know I have had to be a parent to that child far more than I ever have in my life the last 8 months? I do not want to do that anymore. I have no idea why a Wisconsin guy sounds like Alabama guy, but, you know, hey. It's my accents are like my typing. They make no sense. In several cases, Johnson's and parents have lied to contract tracers about test results and about who their child had contact with. Other parents have also refused to test children even when they are obviously ill. You are jeopardizing your – if you are doing that because you are a Trump guy and you just don't want to acknowledge this is a dangerous thing – you've got to realize you're jeopardizing your child and your family's health by not getting them tested. You people just You're not owning the libs when you do this. You're killing yourself. I mean, the Missouri governor, we talked about that yesterday. The governor of Missouri is got coronavirus. This is a guy that was face masks are useless. We're never going to wear one. It's just all hype. Well, now he and his wife are quarantined because they both have coronavirus. I don't want either one of them dead. They're Republicans. I don't want them dead. I'm not like Republicans cheering in glee when Ruth Bader Ginsburg died. I don't want these people dead. That's my entire point. I don't want you dead. I still think you're amazingly stupid, ignorant idiots, but I don't want you dead. I don't know. This whole thing of playing a game of chicken with a virus is just, if that isn't the epitome of Trump supporters, I don't know what it is. Let's go to Mike in St. Louis Park before we get into the Democrat of the Day in the next segment. Welcome on in, Mike.
Good afternoon. Thanks for your program.
Thank you, sir.
A local family practice physician has posted on the internet that parents who bring their kids into her clinic who are obviously sick with every symptom of COVID-19 are refusing to test because they do not wish to have either their daycare closed or their school closed or the super spreader event that they've gone to made public, such as going to a packed church or whatever.
Sturgis or something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So this is getting vastly undercounted. Also, the contact tracking is not happening with these kids, and she can't report the cases because they didn't officially test positive because the parents refused to test.
Well, and that's the other thing. Mike, thank you very much. I appreciate the phone call. That's the other thing. There are cases, and once again, these tests are not perfect. But, I mean, you do have enough suspicion. If you have a kid who's got family members who definitively have tested positive for coronavirus, the child is showing all the signs of coronavirus. But even if they get tested and it comes back as a false positive, the world shouldn't say, well, hey, that kid didn't test positive. Let's just get back to school. No, you should. You have to use your freaking brains, for goodness sakes. You have to use your brains. And maybe that's my problem. It's Wisconsin. It's Wisconsin. Oh, God. How dare you mildly inconvenience me by forcing me to be a parent for my child? How dare you? 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Reminder really quick, if we could do it, take a quick second here. We've got the, of course, the debate watching party coming up here on Tuesday. Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club over on Highway 65 north of Moore Lake in beautiful Fridley, just north of 694. You can head on up there. We're going to be doing a socially distanced debate watching party. Limited tickets, very limited tickets, but each ticket gets you a complimentary drink and, of course, a seat to watch the debate as we are going to be at Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club. To get your tickets, you need to get them now. Very limited. There's not going to be any available at the door. You have to have your tickets in advance. To get your ticket, go to am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com. And a reminder, these will sell out. So the earlier you go and get your ticket, are they getting close? I think they're getting pretty close to selling out. So you need to go get your ticket if you want to join us for the debate watching party. That's on Tuesday. And once again, social distance tables. You're going to keep a distance from everyone, and you can still watch the debate party with a group of people. Hey, what do you know? It's almost like, getting out like we used to, only we're going to do it with some common sense and some safety, okay? All right. Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club on September 29th, the Tuesday night, 7:30, doors open, 8 o'clock, the debate begins. It is the debate watching party with AM950, am950radio.com for more information. We'll take a break. Brad Kovach joins us, 30B, Democrat of the Day. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Chad from AM950. With the recent round of storms that came through the Twin Cities, some of you may have sustained damage to your roofing, siding, or windows. Call Snap Construction, the company we trust, to see if you sustained damage. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, and window company in the metro. Ryan, how are you able to help people that may have had damage from these storms?
Well, Chad, with experience, we've helped thousands of Minnesotans with their storm damage claims. If you suspect your home has damage or was denied in the past, give us a call for your free inspection. It can take up to a year for hail and wind damage to reveal itself. The insurance process can be complicated. We make it easy. We use the same costing software that all insurance companies rely on. As always, we stand behind our work with a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee. Don't wait. Call us for your free estimate or inspection today. 612-333-SNAP. 612-333-SNAP.
Hi, this is Matt McNeil. Today, with the uncertainty going on, we're all looking to find a way to make our dollar go further. That's why I suggest your next vehicle is a Toyota from Rudy Luther Toyota. Not only do I have a newer Toyota, I also have a 2006 Sienna, and it still runs great. 14 years and 170,000 miles later. I love Toyotas, and they're made to last, and they have never let me down. And with maintenance from Rudy Luther, your vehicle will take care of you and save even more money with the Luther Advantage card with your vehicle purchase. Rudy Luther Toyota at 394 and 169 west of Minneapolis.
Finding the right lawyer is incredibly stressful. It can be tough to know even where to start. Don't just run an internet search for an attorney. Start with the Minnesota Lawyer Referral and Information Service, an enhanced program of the Hennepin and Ramsey County Bar Associations. They'll connect you with over 200 thoroughly vetted, qualified attorneys practicing in over 50 areas of law. Call 612-752-6699 or go to mnlawyerreferral.org. The right call for the right lawyer.
We're breaking out this time.
Oh, my. I screwed up. Patrick, are you ready to mock and ridicule me?
Let's do it.
All right. Spam is not made in Albert Lea. It's made in Austin. Patrick, call me a spam head or something.
You know, I thought about it. My grandmother actually lives in Austin, so now I'm especially offended.
Oh, wow. You're actually, well, you know, you're as dumb as a can of, well, I don't know, processed lunch meat or, you know, a ham, pork. Well, aren't ham and pork? Aren't they? Well, never mind. Needless to say, it's delicious. We do love it. Spam, I love you. 952-946-6205. And sorry, City of Austin, that was my bad. I can't dog on Albert Lea now, but... If you like, maybe privately, Austin, I will tell you some limericks which will put Albert Lea in a bad light. How about that? All right. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Well, I was up in the northwest of the metro area, St. Michael, Albertville area. I was up in Eric Lucero's district. Ugh. And we had the story yesterday. Lucero is, you know, having a temper tantrum because how dare votes count? Something like that. I don't know. I'm paraphrasing. But he's suing the Secretary of State in federal court because something of that nature. Needless to say, I was always saying, well, who is the Democrat taking on Eric Lucero? Let's try to get him on. Brad Kovach is the Democrat of the day. He's running for the District 30B seat against Eric Lucero. He's kind enough today to join us to talk about his campaign. Brad, thank you very much. I appreciate the time today.
Yes, well, thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Let's start off with the basic information. Who exactly is Brad Kovach?
Well, I live in Otsego up in District 30B. Of course, I'm a lifelong Democrat, and what I do for a living is I'm an environmental consultant, and I do environmental impact studies and permitting. And I decided to run after my predecessor, Margaret Fernandez, moved out of the district. So here I am.
You do environmental impact studies. That sounds fascinating. Is this for? Do you do it for development, for corporations? For education, for universities? Who do you exactly work with?
Well, I pretty much do it for all kinds of development and infrastructure. So, for example, you know, I spent 6 years of my career working at the Minnesota Department of Transportation. And in that role, I did it for all of our transportation projects. Since then, I've also worked, everything from mining to pipelines to renewable energy facilities, airports, you name it. I've done environmental impact studies and permitting on it. And that's what I do.
One of the things I love about that, Brad, is considering the district. It's a growing district. You know, you have, you know, great ag sectors there. It's got a strong traditional ag backbone. but you also are looking at, because of where it's located at, the natural growth that comes with a high volume road in Interstate 90 there, and of course the as well the or 94 rather, and then of course the as well, you get the growth that happens that with we got that the train that runs up there. You're looking at growth that's happening. You can either hope it works well or you can work with it. And with your background, I imagine that's a talent you bring to the table, that you can look at growth and say, you know what, growth is going to happen. We need to look at it, but we need to do it environmentally friendly.
Yes, exactly. And be proactive. You know, we are one of the fastest growing areas of the state.
Yeah.
And like you mentioned, we're a traditional, you know, agricultural area that now has become is becoming a bedroom community for commuters, either up to St. Cloud or down to the Twin Cities. And it's a very interesting mix of demographics and socioeconomics that we have, although it's not quite unique. We are an interstate community, and a lot of our commerce and industry, of course, is dependent on the industry. And what I'd like to see us do in the future is both accommodate that growth as well as diversify our employment base and our tax base, so we're a little more vibrant and a progressive community in terms of planning for the future and accommodating that growth to meet the standards of what we all expect from our communities here in Minnesota.
We don't want to just talk about your district, though, as the expansion that happens up on the Interstate 94 area there. You do have a lot of great bedroom communities, and St. Michael's cute. I mean, it's just a cute. And, of course, Albertville, you got the outlet mall there. That's part of the district. You also have a lot of ag sector. I've been out in your district now twice in the last 3 weeks, and I've been out in rural parts of that district. And the thing that I keep seeing is for sale signs on farm properties, and it's pretty stark. I mean, it's a pretty common sign you're seeing out there. On top of that, we've got this disastrous trade policy. You have farmers whose margins are lower than ever. You've got markets that used to be vibrant who are non-existent anymore, and questions about, you know, A, am I going to be able to sell the crops I'm growing in the fields? And B, if there's going to be federal bailout dollars, will it ever even get down to me and my farm, or is it just to corporate farms? Talk a little bit about the ag sector there, because it's something that if we don't get out there and start nurturing that ag sector a little bit because of what's happening in Washington, D.C. with Trump and his administration, we're going to end up losing a lot of the farms.
Yes, exactly. My district has not been immune from any of those foreclosures. What those really represent is farmers are going out of business. Mm-hmm. Now, many of the farmers in District 30B are involved in some aspect of dairy production in particular. Many of them, they raise dairy cattle, and then they move the dairy cattle to larger dairy producers. So they're involved in some aspect of that supply chain for the dairy production. And many of these farms here have been in our district for 120, 150 years, some of the oldest farms in Minnesota. And our farmers need to start planning to go small and recapture their independence and recapture their ability to control their markets, control where their products are going to, and as well as recapture those trade positions that Trump has destroyed. And that's going to take a concerted effort both from state and local level stakeholders and politicians, as well as at the national level.
And it does not help having a politician in there who basically doesn't see the person who's causing all this damage and pain to the dairy farmers, to the other farmers. as Trump's fault when it clearly is. And you talked about, I mean, dairy farms across the country have been hit. You're talking about something where that there doesn't seem to be any urgency by, you know, Purdue, the ag secretary, or the Trump administration to deal with this. Having a lapdog rubber stamp for Trump policies is not helping 30B.
Not at all, and neither have the fuel standards in terms of biofuels.
Yeah.
Trump administration has completely turned its back after promising, our corn producers that they would be protecting ethanol and strengthening the ethanol position in the fuel supply chain, and just the reverse has happened. Trump has outright abandoned the farmers on that promise. And now not only do we have all these other elements to our farm crisis, we also have an ethanol and a biofuel farm crisis, which employs a good number of Minnesotans all throughout the state, not just the producers, the corn producers, but the people who work in the ethanol production facilities. Many of them right now are sitting idle, and they have been laid off, again, because of Trump's policies.
Well, did you see, I don't know if you saw it, because you know they gave all those waivers, which they said they weren't going to do. They gave all the waivers to the traditional refineries. And then on top of it, Purdue came on out and said he was going to get, was it CCC funds? He was going to distribute them to ethanol producers, and now he said, no, we're not going to do that. I mean, he really has left – I mean, they – one of the arguments that people have made about, oh, Republicans are good, is because ethanol. The reality is we've just seen they're doing everything in their power. This Trump administration is doing everything in their power to kill ethanol and the ethanol program. And the reality is it's hurting these farmers. You see the end result, the farmer who's out of business, the farmer losing their farm, the no market for the crops, no margins for the farmer. That's where you're seeing the pain on the one end of it. But the reality is that it's a failure because you don't have leadership in the district saying, no, I'm going to fight for these farmers. I don't care what happens in Washington, D.C.
Yes, exactly. And you know, my opponent, Eric Lucero, he has not been on point for our farmers at all. I've gone out, I've talked to our farmers, I've met with the various, the Minnesota Farmers Union and the other various groups, and that's exactly what they're telling me, is that there's all these different facets that are struggling, and they really have no other out. You know, they're sort of trapped in this cycle. And, Eric Lucero has done nothing to help our farmers and producers.
Yeah, making state government vehicles run on ethanol, that'd be a good – mandatory ethanol usage by the state vehicles. I like that idea. One of the things we also want to bring up for your district is the education funding, because your district, once again, you do have St. Michael Albertville, which is, you know, a great school district there, and you know, it's a growing school district, but you also have a lot of school districts which are seeing the same problem other school districts in rural Minnesota are. The current funding model just does not work for these rural schools, and we need to address that, correct?
That's correct. And you know, that it's been that way for way too long.
Yep.
I mean, we've been hearing about this dilemma over and over, in that, you know, we have this arcane school funding formula, and I've always thought, well, why don't we just fix it? It's that easy. It's a matter of legislating and our elected officials doing their jobs to reformulate and change that funding scenario. Because St. Michael Albertville Schools, that's one example in my district. People move out to the district because of the schools. Yet, not only have they always been struggling and been shortchanged, is a good way to say it, because of this formula, because they don't meet the various criteria that draws in larger amounts of school funding. Throw that on top of the COVID economic crisis that has hit our public revenue streams. And St. Michael Albertville Schools and many others are in really, really dire straits here. They're looking at, you know, talking about laying off teachers in the short term here, and they're still really struggling to figure out what they're going to do in terms of long-term funding. So that's going to be one of my top priorities, is working with other legislators to get after this and reform this formula and make it right and bring some equity back into the school funding.
You know, it's like I said, sometimes, you know, the issues are, it's amazing where it's affecting. It's the same problem in inner city schools as you have out in rural districts. The funding model doesn't work anymore. It only works for really wealthy suburban schools. And not only that, but the mandates they put on these school districts. You know, a wealthy suburban school district can easily pass a, you know, a referendum generally, and they don't have any problem with it. But, you know, then you're, you know, a rural school is looking at a teacher having to get laid off, or a field of study having to be shelved because you can't afford to have that because you have more mandates being put on you and in a small budget.
Right. And then, you know, when we put out referendums, you know, to raise school funds, those aren't very popular. And when you're in a community like, or in the communities like I have, we don't really have a very strong tax base. You know, we don't have a lot of high density employers, and all those other things that maybe those more wealthy suburbs do have to sort of back up that public funding formula with revenue, mm-hmm. Income. And yeah, we just don't have that out here either. And that's one thing, of course, that I'm interested in is economic development, diversifying, you know, our tax base from everything from the employee types that we have to the types of businesses and commercial interests that are in our area, because diversifying that tax base is really going to be key to sort of adding a bulwark of school funding income to our schools. So it's a multifaceted process, but reforming that formula and then looking at diversifying our revenue basis here, I think will go a long ways to helping our schools.
Brad Kovach, 30B. Here's the point, everyone. You help your local DFLer, of course. But if you're in a relatively safe DFL district, this is a seat we – first of all, the House would be better without Eric Lucero in it. Let's just be honest. 30B deserves representation that's going to care about the district. Brad Kovach will do that. It's not that far away. Volunteer, donate. Brad, if they want to get to your website, where do they go?
It's bradforminnesotahouse.com. And anyway, you can, of course, just Google my name, Brad Kovach for state representative, and that'll show up too.
All right.
K-O-V as in Victor, A-C-H.
Brad Kovach, 30B, Democrat of the day. Brad, an absolute pleasure chatting with you. All my best in your race, and hope to see you in St. Paul in 2021.
Yes, and likewise, guys. Thanks a bunch for having me, and let's go win.
Let's go win. Brad Kovach, Democrat of the day. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Alicia Luther-Toms, Certified Financial Planner with RBC Wealth Management. You might think you have to give up performance to invest responsibly, but that simply isn't true. Responsible investing can actually have a positive impact on performance. We will work with you to come up with a strategy that matches your values. This is Alicia Luther-Toms at 612-770-4460 or alicia.luther.toms@rbc.com.
RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC, member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC.
I'm Rick Unger. You've heard the screamers. You've heard the shouters, the haters, the beraters. Well, now it's time to listen to a real conversation, a rational conversation. Now it's time for the Rick Unger Show.
Listen to the Rick Unger Show every weekday from 5 to 7 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Stream at am950radio.com or search KTNF on the TuneIn app.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. One more story I wanted to get to, and this is it's a sad story, and if people are indeed vandalizing people's houses, this is just unacceptable. Brooklyn Center family says the garage and trucks were burned early Wednesday morning, and they believe it was because of the Trump 2020 flag that they were draped over them. The FBI and ATF have been called to investigate the fire at Dennis and Deanna Morla's home. I just heard a big loud boom or a bang, Dennis said. The first thing for me was my kids, my wife, what's going on? My family's garage, trucks, and trailer were burned after 3 a.m. Wednesday. Graffiti on the garage. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll get to the graffiti in a second. Now, but once again, it's okay. If this true, I have no reason to believe that this person is lying. I have no reason to believe. So if someone is torching this guy's garage for this, shame on you. And if you have any information on who did this, by all means, contact the authorities. Let's turn them in. There is one thing that piqued my interest, though. The graffiti on the house doesn't match up in any capacity I know of. An anarchy symbol, okay, with the A with the circle around it. Black Lives Matter, which those two groups don't really match that well. And then someone spray painted Biden 2020 on that there. And I can tell you right now, anarchists don't like Biden. They're not fans of Trump either, but they're not fans of Biden. The graffiti seems pretty dang random, if you ask me. Now, granted, if it's someone that's at a point where they're in a torch garage, I don't know how cognitive their mind is. But at the same time, I look at this and I just sort of say, all right, let's make sure there is an investigation here. Once again, I have no reason to believe this family is not telling the truth. By all means, if you have any information about who did this, by all means, turn them in. But that graffiti is a little interesting, isn't it? I trust me, I got it from all sides on the left. I get it. And the anarchists and the Biden people are not together here. Taking us out today, Mr. Brightside, it's the Killers. You have a good rest of your day. We're back tomorrow. Till then, see ya.